Upheaval. Breaking Point. Chapter 43. The Seventh Rebellion.
The farther he flew southward, the stronger Tirado felt Celestia's presence. This would be a first since she established the Heartland.
"And me without a welcoming feast,"
he muttered. How often had he entertained the idea of her coming to the Barrier Lands? How often had he thought of what he would do on such an occasion? He would hold a grand feast, perhaps a parade, and certainly a grand tour to show off his rule and assure her that everything was fine. Except that, right now, everything was not fine. This was not the Barrier Lands he wanted to show Celestia. Not this Barrier Lands, with enemies invading or legionnaires turning traitor. The presence grew even stronger. He didn't have to travel that far from Bastion City, as Celestia was making her way towards him, and doing so swiftly. He noted that she hadn't come by teleportation spell, meaning that she was conserving her strength. He was doing the same, in preparation for the worst. He checked his surroundings, and guessed that they would likely meet near the ruins of the Temple of the Three, at the rate they were going. Strangely fitting, he thought. He did have a lot of fond memories of his sisters in that place. Celestia, Celestia, Grand Princess of the Sun, Light of Equestria, blazing noble flame, under your reign we prosper, by your vision we set forth, radiant Celestia, your subjects pray for your guidance. The fervent chants filled the main chamber of the Temple of the Three, as they always did every month. It was a custom that produced some rather mixed reactions among Tirado and his siblings. Celestia stood at the center of a raised platform, surrounded by well over 1,000 ponies, and that was only counting the ones inside the building. The Temple of Three was a massive open building of white marble and gold. Its domed roof allowed sunlight to illuminate the central platform through an enormous opening at its center that could be closed if necessary. Outside the temple were even more ponies, coming from various settlements for this occasion.
"They always start with Big Sister's part," Luna said quietly to her brother. Standing behind and off to the right of Celestia, she watched the gathered mass of ponies with a hint of disappointment.
"As they should,"
Tirado said with a grin. As he stood parallel to his younger sister, he pointed his horn at the foremost pony who knelt before Celestia. The unicorn was clothed in bright gold and white robes. With his golden mane and his white coat to match, he looked like a small shrine to Celestia all his own.
"I like that one over there. Solar, was it? He's Celestia's biggest worshipper, that one."
"Second biggest," Luna muttered. "Tirado, Tirado, Grand Prince of the Earth, Defender of Equestria, Unyielding Grey Sentinel, at your charge we rise, at your neigh we rally. Mighty Tirado, your subjects pray for your protection." Tirado didn't care much for his section. These ponies didn't need to pray or sing to him, just Celestia. He came with the set, so to speak. "Luna, Luna, Grand Princess of the Moon, Watcher of Equestria, gentle comforting darkness, under your stars we rest, in your shadow we shelter. Sublime Luna, your subjects pray for your compassion." Tirado nudged Luna with a wing.
"Your section's rhythm is a little off,"
he said jokingly.
"Maybe we should add a syllable to your name. How about Lunalis?"
"Your section's rhythm is off too, big brother," Luna retorted. "Maybe you should be called Grand Princess of the Earth to fix it."
"Hush, you two," Celestia whispered to them. "You're making them nervous with all your small talk."
Tirado watched quietly as Celestia raised her horn as a blessing for all the ponies that had gathered. He noted that she still looked a little awkwardly uncomfortable with all the adulation she was receiving. Perhaps Solar had been a little too zealous with this ceremony. The construction of the temple was his grand plan, one that Tirado wholeheartedly supported by furnishing all the necessary materials. He could have built it, too, but these ponies should have a great part in it, so he let them handle the rest. The fancy white and gold robes, the elaborate rituals, the ceremonial tools, the various holidays. Though Tirado believed that Celestia deserved all of it for choosing to help these mortals over returning to the Eternal Herd, even he had to think that she might find it all too much. That was when Solar suddenly rose and stood on his hind legs. With his forelegs outstretched, he cried out in a loud voice,
"Praise the sun!"
Two ponies joined him and did the same, yelling,
"Praise the earth!" and "Praise the moon!"
in succession. Tirado snorted and then smiled just to avoid laughing. Luna had to put a hoof to her mouth and turn away while her shoulders quivered. The memory receded as Tirado approached his estimated meeting point. Nothing was left of the Temple of the Three now, save for a few broken columns to serve as gravestones for the prospect of ruling Equestria, side by side with his sisters. There also used to be vast settlements all around the temple at the height of its use. They were gone as well. No pony wanted to live next to something that reminded them that Celestia and Luna lived in the heartland, while they remained out here. Instead of prosperous towns and a majestic temple, there was only a vast field of whiteness. He was suddenly reminded of Luna, his little sister, who believed in what the Temple of the Three signified. He sometimes wished that he was that naive. Just as he expected, he saw Celestia approaching. She was a single white dot against the dark gray skies, surrounded by brightly glowing dots that were her new protectors. He snorted and flew towards them directly. The Equi Igne didn't frighten him. They didn't even worry him. What he felt for the 12 blazing shapes that followed his sister was contempt.
"These are the things she relies on to protect her now?"
he sneered inwardly. It was an insult. Celestia was insulting him to his face by having these things by her side. They closed the distance between each other easily enough. They were about 30 feet or so apart when they stopped. For a brief moment, Tirado was breathless. He hadn't seen his sister in the flesh for more than 1,000 years. She still had that regal air and that piercing stare, but those were things he could observe through a magical image. Up close, he could still feel that radiant presence that no image could duplicate. This was no time to think fondly of Celestia, however. Tirado quickly found himself surrounded by the Equi Igne. There was nothing calm or friendly from the presence that Celestia herself radiated. She stared at him angrily. During any other time, he would have been hurt by this. But this was an improvement compared to the dejected mess he had last talked to when Fangbreaker fell. He didn't even mind that he had to be in danger just to see that improvement.
"Tirado,"
Celestia began.
"I'm glad you still remember who I am, dearest sister,"
Tirado said with a wry smile.
"Here I was thinking that you've forgotten even that."
"How can I forget after what you've done?"
Tirado's voice lowered.
"I sent Luna back when she came here looking for a fight. I did everything I can to protect your rebellious little student. Why do you sound like I..."
"You sent your creatures to murder my ponies and steal the elements of harmony."
Celestia's accusing tone cut through Tirado more deeply than Aragic's claws.
"What?"
he asked, his eyes widening.
"I have done no such thing."
He paused for a moment, and then remembered the report he heard about Black Rose kidnapping a couple squads from Special Operations.
"Black Rose," he whispered.
"You've turned Luna against me. You forced Twilight and her friends into your legion, and now you've come to attack me."
"You entered my realm,"
Tirado said through grit teeth.
"Not the other way around. Twilight Sparkle and her friends joined the Legion, your Legion, of their own free will. And Luna... Luna has done nothing but try to help both of us. What did you do to her? Did you hurt her?"
"She hurt herself trying to run. Are you also going to tell me that some pony called Black Rose sent those creatures, and not you?"
"Stop calling them creatures!"
Tirado roared.
"They're ponies! Use their damn proper name!"
The Equi Igne flared at the outburst and edged closer, tightening the circle around Tirado. Celestia looked shocked at the sudden intensity from him. At the sight of Celestia's discomfort, he instinctively lowered his voice and remembered why he came here.
"Celestia,"
he said calmly, trying to restart the conversation,
"I didn't come here to attack you. I came here to ask you to bring down that barrier."
"You know I can't do that."
"No, I don't. I used to think that I do, but not now. When you proposed to create the barrier, you told me that we needed to preserve the identity of our subjects, that they were creatures of harmony, of honesty, loyalty, generosity, joy, kindness, and magic. But fighting wars would somehow destroy all of that.
Tirado glanced behind him, towards the direction of Bastion City, where legionnaires, his ponies, were fighting to defend their homes. 1,000 years ago was too long a time for him to remain aloof from the ponies he was charged with. To see them take in the Chosen, to fight side by side with ponies of Celestia's realm. He had been thinking so much of the division lately.
But you're wrong,
he continued.
Yes, I've seen ponies ruined by the carnage they've had to endure, but far more often, I see everything that we believe that these mortals should be arise from their struggles. Every day they face the harsh truth of their existence bravely. Thrown into battle, they draw strength in their loyalty to each other. Faced with cruelty and the prospect of death at every turn, they value moments of joy and acts of kindness more. When they are tested to their limits, the bond of friendship, of magic, they have only grown stronger. So I'll say it again, Celestia. You're wrong, and I was wrong for believing you. There is no repairing the damage that our mistake has caused, but we can end this. Bring down the barrier.
He paused, trying to gauge Celestia's reaction.
Fight by my side, and let our little ponies work together.
And then they were both silent. All Tirado could hear was the steady blowing of the wind around them, and the gentle flapping of their wings. Celestia stared at him as if he had grown a second head. Then she looked away, her face twisting with emotion. It finally dawned on him how tired and ragged she looked. He fought back an urge to fly towards her and offer his support, knowing that if he advanced so much as an inch from where he was, the Equiigne would attack.
I don't believe you,
Celestia answered softly. Tirado could barely hear the words, and when they reached him, he could only stare in shock, a shock that was quickly replaced by frustration.
Celestia.
How can you say such lies to my face when I've seen the sort of murderers that you reign over in these lands?
Celestia went on.
I will not listen to another word of this. Surrender, Tirado. Let Twilight and her friends return with me to the Heartland and accept your punishment.
Tirado couldn't help but recoil at the harsh words. He scowled deeply, hiding the pain of being rebuffed underneath a wave of rage.
Who will you expect to fight off Fenrir's Wolven, Celestia? Luna? You?
He backed away slightly as the Equiigne tightened the ring of living fire around him.
I will find a way.
It's half-assed plans like those that keep pushing away everything you hold dear.
The moment the words left his mouth, Tirado winced. He desperately wished that he could pluck them from the air and take them back before they reached Celestia, but it was too late. He may as well have formed a spear of jagged iron and hurled it at her. It would have bitten less deeply and hurt less badly. Celestia's mouth hung open, and she started to shake violently. He opened his mouth to apologize, to beg for forgiveness if he had to.
Tirado!
Celestia flew past the Equiigne at blazing speeds and slammed right into Tirado, nearly impaling him with her horn if he hadn't twisted at the last moment. Her charge drove him from the sky and knocked the air out of his lungs. Before he could draw in another breath, the snow-covered ground was hurriedly rising to meet him. Still charging on, Celestia flapped her wings harder to speed up his fall.
Why?
The thoughts flashed quickly in Tirado's mind.
All I wanted was to make you happy. Why do I drive you away with each attempt?
The two of them struck the ground where the ruins of the Temple of the Three were. With a thunderous boom that sent snow, stone, and soil flying up everywhere, the last remains of the temple shattered. A cloud of white and brown obscured them from the Equiigne, who followed after them at once. As soon as they struck the ground, Celestia's eyes widened as she realized her mistake. She rose to her hoofs quickly and beat her wings to regain some altitude, but it was too late. Tirado held onto her with his forelegs. Now he was also quivering with anger.
You fool!
He growled.
You've committed the 7th Rebellion, and you've decided to bring this fight to my element.
His horn glowed, and his magic set to work. The ground beneath them transformed from icy, hard-packed earth
into a morass of mud and loose stones. The two of them sank into the resulting mess, with Celestia trying to push Tirado away while he held on tightly. Once they were completely submerged, Tirado enveloped his sister in a small dimensional lock and then let go. He swam through the earth as easily as if he were flying through open air, leaving her to flail about furiously. He emerged from the ground at a good distance from where she was and cast another spell. The mud transformed into solid stone.
That should hold her for a bit of time,
Tirado thought. He shifted his attention to the 12 flaming shapes that were streaking towards him. He continued to fly close to the ground, where he could manipulate his element with ease. He doubted that a mere entrapping spell could hold Celestia for long, but she was tired before she even started the fight, and she was far too angry. He was the one whose fighting style worked well with bursts of rage. For Celestia, an excess of emotion only ruined her graceful, insightful technique. The first Equiigne flew towards him in a torrent of white-hot flames. His horn glowed once more, and the ground opened up beneath the first Equiigne. Jagged shards of various gemstones, each one about a foot long, flew from the opening and struck it repeatedly. A pony of flesh and blood would have been sliced to ribbons, but the Equiigne simply discorporated from the quick assault, buying Tirado just about a minute before it reformed and attacked again. Two more came from behind the first one, only to run right into a wall of stone he raised. When they tried to fly over the obstacle, he raised it faster and then encased them in a dome of stone. With a flourish, he transformed the stone into diamond, making it difficult even for otherworldly flames to burn through. Before Tirado could cast another spell, however, another Equiigne blazed towards him from the side. He only had enough time to dodge. The flames barely touched his body, but the heat was intense. He could feel his coat and the skin beneath it char. Furious, he slammed the Equiigne with a wave of raw telekinesis, pushing it to the ground and crushing it so it discorporated. The other Equiigne flew after Tirado, forcing him to keep flying and raising obstacles from the ground. His mind worked on three levels now. The first was to keep the Equiigne from burning him to a crisp while trapping and slowing them down. The second was to keep track of the Equiigne that had simply discorporated, as well as his estimated time for Celestia to break out of her stone prison. A third one simply wondered what he was supposed to accomplish in this situation. As of right now, he was simply defending himself. Was he going to defeat Celestia, knock her out, and then go on to destroy her barrier? That was unlikely. He was barely keeping the Equiigne from overwhelming him, and then he would have to contend with his enraged sister once she broke free.
Which should be any time now, Tirado thought.
Cracks formed by the spot he had trapped Celestia, and the brilliant rays of light escaped from them. With a mighty explosion, the stone prison broke open, and Celestia flew out of the resulting hole. The time she spent trapped worried Tirado more than seeing her escape and become a threat again. She took far too long, and it looked like the effort sapped more strength from her than he anticipated. Two Equiigne took advantage of his temporary distraction and flew right into him. He cursed at the persistent concern he felt towards who should be his opponent and beat his wings furiously. One of them brushed against a foreleg, severely burning it. Despite the horrendous pain, he glanced at the injury with an annoyed grunt and refocused his attention on Celestia. His sister had raised a foreleg, her magic surrounding her in a glorious nimbus that made her appear like a small sun. A shaft of pure golden sunlight materialized by her raised hoof, glowing in size until it was around 10 feet in length. With a cry, she hurled it at him like a spear, an enormous blazing spear of light and heat. In response, he tore great chunks of earth from around him and formed a gigantic shield of stone to block the attack. There was no impact against the shield, however. To Tirado's admiration, there was a flash of light, and then hundreds of smaller bolts of sunlight flew around his shield and homed in on him.
Brilliantly controlled, he thought.
He shattered his shield into smaller, equally many pieces, and then surrounded himself, blocking bolt after bolt with precise placement. Before he could even breathe a quick exhale in relief, a second enormous bolt of sunlight was already flying towards him. In response, he simply flew downward and disappeared into the ground, as if he had dived into a lake of water. Still in the air, Celestia looked around and increased her altitude. Tirado watched her from beneath, his sight able to penetrate the soil and ice with ease. She shattered the cages he had formed around some of the Equiigne and gathered them around her. With her guardians by her side, she unleashed her magic. Her horn burst with hundreds of motes of sunlight that streamed down on the snow-covered ground, melting the ice and revealing the hard-packed earth. Tirado noticed his body's outline glowing. With a grunt, he unleashed his next spell. Above him, Celestia aimed a blast of sunlight at his outline. The ground directly beneath Celestia suddenly burst open, and a myriad of chains flew out. Surprised, she canceled her spell and tried to fly out of the way, but one chain wrapped itself around a hind leg and dragged her down. Several more followed until she was completely entangled in metal. With his sister restrained, Tirado emerged from the ground.
"I know the spells you rely on," he said. "You can see where I am, but not necessarily where I lay out my attacks. If you spent more time fighting, you'd depend less on detection spells and more on an instinctive sense of danger."
"I'm not surprised that you've planned how to fight me," Celestia said. "How often had you envisioned this fight while you planned all of this?"
Tirado had to dodge and weave once again as the Equiigne descended on him, leaving him unable to answer his sister's accusation. From how Celestia looked, his plan now was to survive and defend until attrition put the fight more to his favor. As she was the eldest, he naturally assumed that Celestia possessed more raw power than him. But he had centuries of experience compared to her, and he started this fight at a fresher state. Once he brought himself more room to breathe and fatigue cooled her temper down a bit, he may be able to talk to her again. There was another explosion, and the glowing fragments of the chains he wrapped his sister in flew past him. He braced himself for another fierce attack. The attack didn't come, however. Before either of them could make a move, there was a flash of black magic between them. Tirado's eyes narrowed. He recognized the color of that magic. Black Rose. Sure enough, his former student materialized before them. The sight of her near-complete wings made him recoil painfully. Even the Equiigne paused at the sight. They could not harm mortals, but they could attack alicorns. This new arrival seemed stuck in between.
"So you've called out your allies," Celestia said to Tirado.
Black Rose ignored Celestia and flew over to Tirado.
"My prince, you must postpone this fight for now," she said.
She raised a horn, conjuring an image of Bastion City.
"Bastion City has been breached. The Legion needs your direction."
To Tirado's horror, the buildings were on fire, and his legionnaires were on the run. What's more, the chosen he had relied on had all collapsed on the ground. However, the most heart-wrenching sight of all was the sight of Fenrir walking triumphantly within the city. Between his jaws was Luna's unconscious form, his teeth holding her firmly, but gently enough so that they did not pierce her coat. Tirado's nostrils flared.
"I am not going to—"
An anguished cry came from Celestia, much to Tirado's dismay.
"Luna! Twilight!"
she cried out. Before he could stop her, she cast a powerful teleportation spell, likely one that would sap even more of her flagging strength. The Equiigne were quick to follow suit. Tirado turned his anger towards his former apprentice.
"You planned this," he snarled. "Celestia doesn't know you, and her fear and anger are clouding her judgment. Otherwise, she would recognize your lies."
"My prince, all I wanted was to protect you,"
Black Rose replied. With a look of concern, she approached him and extended her hooves towards his injured foreleg.
"You're hurt."
Tirado lashed out, smashing his injured foreleg directly into Black Rose's face. There was a violent bang and a flare of black magic as she flew across the plain and bounced several times against the ground before landing still. Despite the force of the blow and the distance she traveled, she stood up, with only a trickle of blood flowing from her lower lip.
"You're still angry with me,"
she said in a hurt tone.
"Once I have accomplished my goals, that will change. Please be patient for a little while longer, beloved."
With that, she disappeared, carried away by the wings of a teleportation spell. With a snort of rage and frustration, Tirado cast his own teleportation spell. He could only hope that this trip to Bastion City will settle things.